Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week has been a particularly difficult week. Last Saturday, the Syrian regime carried out a chemical weapons attack on its own citizens, killing at least 70 men and women and children. And on Friday, the U.S. and France and England responded to Syria's breaking of international law with two airstrikes aimed at chemical factories and research facilities in Syria. And President Trump and former FBI head Comey are trading unsavory insults in our newspapers. And various governors and members of Congress are being accused of or admitting to illegal acts. And gun violence and gun debate continue. And international tensions with both Russia and North Korea are simmering. Our season of Easter lasts for 50 days, but this is not the Eastertide that we were hoping for. We seem to be stuck in Good Friday, with real dangers and real evil, real malice, real uncertainty percolating in our national and international communities. In our gospel, when Jesus appears to the apostles, Jesus says, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" But our God understands why this week it's been frightening to many and deadly to some and disturbing to most. Our retired bishop, Bishop Barbara Harris, used to like to remind her clergy that we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. And those words are as true today as on the first day she uttered them. We are Easter people, people of resurrection and hope and love. And this week, we are living in a Good Friday world. I was feeling discouraged and a little empty in the light of all the bad news this week. And then I fell into a small sermon that was waiting for me in the art section of the New York Times. That is an unlikely place to find Jesus, but that's where he appeared. There he was, inspiring some brave, hopeful work the way he always does. The article I was reading was a piece about an artistic party, a modern Passover feast that was being held in a big apartment in Manhattan. Katie Couric was attending, and there were various Broadway actors and actresses who were there. And the article had lots of detail about the decor of the apartment and the food that was being served. I thought I was reading a puff piece full of chatty distraction when there he was. About halfway into the article, the reader finds out that the party is being held to raise funds for a man named Mohammed El Samawi, a man from Yemen who got caught up in the violence that's catching a lot of people up in Yemen. The New York Times reported that he was raised a Muslim and was taught to hate Jews and Christians and Americans. But somehow he eventually committed himself to multi-faith advocacy. And then he found himself in grave danger and violence in Yemen, brought on by Al-Qaeda and other extremist groups. 3 years ago, fearing for his life, Mr. El-Samawi hid alone in a room and posted about his plight on Facebook. And for Americans, virtual strangers, Jews and Christians, responded, and they spent the next 2 weeks trying to save a man they barely knew. He said, "Jews and Christians saved my life." A handful of Americans who were Christians and Jews decided to believe in a man they'd never met and to save him. And they did. It took them 2 years to do it, but in 2015, Mr. Al-Samawi was finally in the U.S., in good standing with our government, redeemed, and ready to start a new life in a country that respects religious freedom and where Christians and Muslims and Jews can be friends with one another. "Peace be with you," says Jesus in our gospel. And I think I'm beginning to remember what Easter peace can look like. Transforming love, courageous justice, redeeming peace. And then a few days later, Jesus showed up again on NPR when I wasn't looking for him or even expecting the secular world to pay attention to the fact that we are 4 days into our season of Easter. I caught a rerun of a story NPR ran on its show, Kind World. Kind World runs one or two short stories every month, and it describes itself as a show about compassion. Quote, "Through stories large and small, we explore the effect one act can have on a life." The stories are wonderful, and the story I heard, New Ink, was unforgettable. I first heard the story when I turned on the program already underway, and the first sentence I heard was about two tattoo artists in Brooklyn Park, Maryland. Last year, they decided to start offering to cover gang-related or racist tattoos for free. And the day after they put their offer on the internet, hundreds of requests were pouring into their emails. M13, Latin Kings, former skinheads, Klan members. All of them said they were ashamed of their past and wanted a new start. There were so many emails that the two tattoo artists had to follow up on the requests, which they started to call redemption requests. Don't you love that? Redemption requests. They did research to decide how sincere the remorse was in each case, and they chose the people who they believed were ready. So Dave, one of the tattoo artists, said that seeing people getting over that kind of hatred was very meaningful to him. Transforming. He said, "I have to believe that people can change. If you're saying that no one has the free will to change their thought process, what kind of a world are we living in? And what kind of a world will we have?" Step by step, Hitler's face, nooses hung on trees, swastikas became birds or flowers or roses based on the new life the person's seeking. 100 tattoos have already been covered over, and there are many more to go. Dave has gotten requests from every state in the country, from Europe and Asia, even one from Nepal. Dave said he had no idea how much violent hatred was in the world. And he said the work is changing him. But he also said that he's going to continue to offer to cover racist tattoos as long as someone is asking. The world needs all the love and hope, all the resurrection that Christ and we Christians can offer it. And if we believe and honor Christ's resurrection, we're meant to practice our own. We're meant to practice transforming love, redeeming peace, courageous justice. That's how we contribute to the healing of the world. And we're meant to do this not just in large ways, but in all the small, daily, daring ways that end up becoming large because so many of us are doing them. So many of us are practicing them. William Temple, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury during the worst of World War II, never lost his confidence in the transforming love of Jesus. He and we are talking about not the sentimental love of Hallmark cards, but the vigorous, action-oriented, determined love of Easter people. The kind of love that gets tattoo artists to cover racist hate tattoos for free. The kind of love that caused three Christians to reach out across the internet to save a Muslim they never met. The kind of love that's powered St. Andrew's for 50 years to pull hundreds of volunteers into a pop-up thrift store that we call Bargain Hall, that sends hundreds of people home with good things and raises thousands of dollars for outreach and more good work. Years before peace would be declared in the thick of the worst battles of World War II, Archbishop William Temple prayerfully asked that a vigorous love descend upon the church. And we need to claim that creative and vigorous love now just as much as they needed it 76 years ago. Here's the Archbishop's recipe for finding courage when we're ready to do our part. O God of love, we ask you to give us love. Love in our thinking, love in our speaking, love in our doing, and love in the hidden places of our souls. Love of our neighbor and our friends. Love for those with whom we find it hard to bear. And love for those who find it hard to bear with us. Love in joy and love in sorrow, love in life and love in death, that so at length we may be worthy to dwell with you, eternal love, through him who reveals your love, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. We are children of God. So this week, may we find the courage to let our lives show forth abundant love, vigorous peace. Amen.
Amen.